Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
What's up, Max Living Nation? I'm Dr. Ryan Berlin.
And I'm Ashley Berlin.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about heart health.
So the heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States of America, which is crazy. And what that means is that most people are not taking care of their heart properly. Today, we're going to go over the importance of heart health and how you can maintain a healthy heart through the five essentials.
Yeah. So I think this is huge, particularly right now. We're actually seeing, you know, and I don't want to get too conspiratorial, but Pfizer documents were just dropped. And what we found out was there's a lot of cardiac episodes that are showing up this year.
Sure.
And we believe they're tied to something that was done in the last year.
Right.
That this vaccine, unfortunately, we think there's a lot of cardiac episodes tied to it. So we're not going to really dive into that today.
Sure.
But I do think that this is now very relevant, that if there is now a higher associated risk of heart disease, you know, from some environmental factor, whether it was a vaccine or whatever, that that means that there's more people now. Where it used to be one in four get diagnosed with heart disease, now we have to really look at this and go, okay, you know, you have how many people in your household? If you have four in your household, one of you is going to be, you know, statistically at risk. This is something that everyone should be concerned about. One of the things I used to say is the only way to not become the one out of four is to assume that you will be the one out of four and then take the necessary precautions and steps to change that.
Yes. I mean, 100%. Absolutely. And I think the heart disease, because it's so prevalent, even right now, like when I think about my family, my grandfather died of a heart attack. My mom has had heart disease in the past. And it definitely touches a lot of people. So this is something, it's an episode and you know, like we have, you know, 20 some odd minutes right now to dive into this. But I think that it's something that we're going to touch on a few different times.
So let's get down. Like you said, I love that brass tacks.
Let's get down to brass tacks.
Are you a ticking time bomb? You know, that's a question. Right. Like, is there something going on? Is your ticker ticking away? And right now, half of adults have high blood pressure, high cholesterol. That's from the CDC. We know that on average, there's 6 to about 800,000 deaths every year from heart disease. Those are statistics over the last several years from the CDC. So this is the number one killer when it comes to disease. It costs us over $300 billion, and they're claiming by 2030 it's going to cost us near $1 trillion in healthcare costs. I would argue that $300 billion number, that's an older number from the CDC. Right. I would argue that that's already significantly higher. When we go to kids, like, are kids at risk of heart disease? You know, is this just a topic for adults? And the sad reality is right now, 25% of children over the age of 5 already have plaque building up in their arteries.
Oh my gosh.
That 60% of 15 to 19 year olds have plaque in their coronary artery, which is the major one that supplies the heart.
Right.
And research suggests as many as 1/3 of children have or are currently at risk for high cholesterol and are actually starting to be prescribed medicines for lowering cholesterol in that demographic. So this is not just an adult issue. This is a familial issue. It's a family issue. So we're going to talk through, like, what do you have to know? And again, today we're not going to give you all of the ins and outs. Like, we can't possibly do that.
Right.
That's a 2-hour conversation. Really, it's longer than that, but 2 hours is what it takes to really start breaking down some of the majors. We're going to give you guys some, you know, sound advice to walk away from.
And there might be a lot of you out there that are like me. When you think about your family history, like right now you say, oh my gosh, I just heard that your grandfather died of a heart attack and your mom had heart disease. Are you terrified of heart disease?
Yeah.
And my honest to God answer is no, I'm absolutely not terrified of, I don't even think about it. It's not even on my radar. It's not something that I worry about. It doesn't keep me up at night. I don't think that it's in my future. And the reason why I can confidently say that is that, a lot of things that we're going to walk you through today is that I understand like down deep in my body that the things that, that they did in their lives that led them to that point, the decisions that they made, the cumulative effect of, you know, what they ate, how they lived, if they were under chiropractic care, all of the choices that they made led them to a point where, you know, my grandfather died of a heart attack and led my mom to a point where, you know, she had that. Now she did change her lifestyle and she did overcome it, which is a wonderful, beautiful story. But the thing that I can confidently say is that I understand that the choices that I'm making, that I've been making for the last 15 years and the choices that I'm currently making today, every single day, build health in my body. And so it's not something that I'm scared of. I understand that genetics have no power over me. Does that make sense?
Good. If you go back and listen to previous episodes of the Max Living Podcast, one of the things Ashley talks about is her philosophy on how she thought she was just dancing through life, dodging disease lightning
yes.
bolts.
Yes.
And, yes. And really what she's talking about is empowerment, that she knows that things that she's currently doing and the philosophy she has on health puts her in a situation where she's confident over heart disease and not being subjected to this scary thing out there. It's like, oh no, am I one of the 1 in 4? Am I going to get like hit with that lightning bolt?
Right.
So let's go through some of this couple things that we really want to talk through today. Number one, couple of the lies. One of them is just the lie about cholesterol. Even the doctors now, their total cholesterol number is almost irrelevant. Ratios are really more where it's at.
Right.
You have to be checking your cholesterol ratios. And then there's this other thing called particle size. Now doctors are realizing, oh wait, LDLs aren't necessarily evil, but the particle size of the LDL matters. And so there's all these little nuances. We want to give you some basic truths. Another thing we want to talk about is like chiropractic. Like, what can a chiropractor do for your heart? Can a chiropractor can't adjust your heart. So does a chiropractic adjustment have any effect on keeping your heart healthy?
Okay, but I do have a joke because a chiropractor does have my heart.
It's like a mom joke.
It was like a mom joke. It's the opposite of a dad joke.
So
thanks for letting me have that.
That was awesome. What is it? You can't buy happiness, but you can marry a chiropractor.
That's kind of the same thing.
All right. So here's some truths. And I want you guys to hear these because these are just 100% true. These come from the New England Journal of Medicine. As far as we know, all the statistics are showing that this is accurate. These are stats from the New England Journal of Medicine. And these are going to be very contrary to what you've heard in the past. So are you ready for this? Truth. Based on stats from New England Journal of Medicine, statin drugs, which are cholesterol-lowering drugs, lower cholesterol but do not prevent death from heart attack.
Oh, gosh.
Wait a minute. Why am I on a cholesterol-lowering drug?
Because
I don't want to have a
heart attack.
But the stats show statin drugs lower cholesterol but do not prevent death from a heart attack.
Oh, come on, somebody.
All right, another truth. You ready?
Okay.
There's a higher death rate with low cholesterol than high cholesterol.
Oh, that's interesting.
Who has really low cholesterol, dangerously low? People who are taking a cholesterol-lowering drug.
Oh, man.
And they put you at risk, actually, of severe, some of the most dangerous strokes you can ever have, hemorrhagic strokes, are one of the warnings on labels for cholesterol-lowering medications. Truth. You ready? More people have heart attacks with normal cholesterol than elevated cholesterol.
Really?
Yep. Again, who has normal cholesterol? A, healthy people. B, people who are medicated who have high cholesterol, but they're chemically lowering it with a drug and then still dying of a heart attack because we just said, true, statin drugs do not prevent heart attacks.
Wow.
So they're taking the statin drugs, still having the heart attack, even though chemically they're altering their cholesterol into a normal range.
Which seems like it probably ties into that first truth that you said where if you're on a statin drug, that does not prevent a heart attack. It might lower cholesterol, but it does not prevent a heart attack. So that's crazy. I do not feel like I have ever been led to believe any of those things.
All right. No, especially now if you watch the commercials where people are dancing around and happy and hugging their wife at 70 after they just had their chest split open after a heart attack. And now they're just going to take their whatever store for the rest of their life, Crestor, Lipitor, whatever the Tor drug is of right now. So truth, the oxidation of cholesterol is what causes heart disease, not the cholesterol itself. And I have a fun way of teaching this. We'll go through in a minute, but it's the oxidation. So here's the reality. Cholesterol is one of the best, most unbelievable repair substances in the body. If your body is trying to repair blood vessels, your brain, neurological tissue, if you're trying to create hormones, cholesterol is your guy.
Are you giving cholesterol a main character moment? Because it's been living its villain arc for a very long time. It has had I'm just going to be very honest. It has had a villain arc for the last 20 years, because when I hear the word cholesterol, I equate it with like the Penguin, and I equate cholesterol with, who are some other like notorious bad guys? I don't know. Loki. Yeah. Like, I mean, I literally think of just, if it's biblical, it's like Satan. Like, I don't know. I just think of like the worst bad guys in history when I hear the word cholesterol. So for you to be giving it a moment, I'm here for it, babe.
Ashley's been hanging out. If you're over 30 and you don't know what those terms villain arc and main character moment mean, Ashley's been hanging out with our nieces this weekend.
I've been hanging out with my high school
nieces.
That's
what all the kids are saying.
That's right.
So yeah. Yeah. So cholesterol isn't the villain. It never was the villain. It got painted as the villain.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a movie where there was a seemingly bad guy who turned out to be good. That would be cholesterol.
That would be cholesterol.
So cholesterol is actually a repair substance. It was painted in a bad light because of the sugar industry. The sugar industry was trying to put all the blame on something, and they picked fats and especially cholesterol. Cholesterol then got removed from food.
Yeah.
And what did they fill the place of cholesterol? Because if you don't have fat, if you don't have something in there to give you that, you know, buttery goodness and, you know, fat satiating,
right,
you know, flavor, and you remove the fats out of something, what do you put in there? Sugar.
Sugar.
So the sugar industry was trying to hide how bad sugar was. Number one of the worst, you know, substances you can put in your body in terms of a food, you know, non-caloric, non-nutritive, or a high-caloric, non-nutritive substance.
Right.
Well, they had to blame it on something. What they blame it on? Cholesterol, i.e. enter in margarine, enter in vegetable oil,
sure,
enter in low-fat foods. The whole thing of like the 70s, 80s, even into the 90s, all this nonsense about don't eat the yolks,
right,
yada, yada, yada. It was all BS. It was lies.
Right.
Sorry. Didn't mean to say BS, but it was. It was all lies. It was bad science. BS. It was bad science.
There you go.
So whenever inflammation occurs in the body, especially in the arteries, the liver produces more cholesterol to repair the damage.
Okay.
And so cholesterol is something your body is actually manufacturing to repair damage.
Right.
And then you're trying to lower your cholesterol. And so the damage is not being repaired, so it's getting worse, all the while you think you're managing your cholesterol.
Which is such an interesting thing, because you've talked about this multiple times. You've talked about how when you take a medication, your body has to heal twice, right? It has to heal from the thing that it's healing from, like the thing it's trying to do, and then it also has to heal from the medication. So this is a prime example of that, it sounds like.
So I want to get into an example. You know, because here's the thing, like your brain tissue is made out of cholesterol.
Yeah, 60% cholesterol.
Yep.
I have that nugget in front of me.
Yeah. Your brain tissue is made out of cholesterol. So now we have like dementia
and
people who, you know, 70, 80 years old.
Oh, that's interesting.
Who've been lowering their cholesterol for 3 decades, 4 decades, right?
That's really interesting.
Statin drugs deplete CoQ10. CoQ10 is critical for brain function.
Yep.
There's a substance out there that actually regulates cholesterol extremely well. And it's a natural thing, and almost every American is deficient in it, and that's magnesium.
You know, this is interesting when you're saying this. Okay, I like walking through this right now, because it seems like, and again, a couple episodes back, you said there is no biological free lunch. And I love that phrase. And there is something here that we're seeing this come to roost right now. I'm using a lot of great phrases today. We're getting down to brass tacks.
Come to roost.
It's coming to roost. That's right. But like what we're seeing coming to roost right now is that we've seen like this massive use of statins over the past how many years now? And what we're, and what you're saying is that when we're looking at this research, those statin drugs inhibit that enzyme that creates that CoQ10.
Yep.
And so what we're seeing now is we're seeing these people who have been on this thing that's been inhibiting that CoQ10 production. And now they're having that issue, and this problem is coming to roost. Like,
and they're not only at risk of heart disease and maybe suffered still heart issues, but then they also are now finding out that because that CoQ10 being depleted and cholesterol being depleted, their brains are unhealthy, and now they're developing dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yep. 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 So all of this cluster of problems that are happening. And if you can untangle from that, like if you can walk this backwards at all, really there's a simple solution to it, right?
Yep.
A very simple solution.
Well, I want to give one example of what happens, you know, and this isn't how all heart disease develops, but this is part. Because there was a study in bioscience done in 2004, largest study ever conducted, that showed only 41% of heart attacks were caused by thrombosis, meaning, you know, blockage and clotting in the artery that 59% weren't caused by it. So then what the heck's causing the other 59%?
Right.
Well, I'll explain that to you. And it's important that we understand this. So here's the example I give. I used to teach this all the time. People, they would come in, we'd do a blood prick and take their blood and take a look at it and evaluate their cholesterol. And I used to do this. I used to evaluate LDLs, HDLs,
right.
Total cholesterol with clients in our gym all the time. We had a doctor-driven personal training program
right.
where we coached them through changing their blood work and their blood chemistry and their body through fitness and lifestyle. And people are like, well, you know, you can't do that. Like, you know, no, there's no evidence. No, there's tons of evidence.
Right.
Saw it with my own eyes. It was crazy. Saw guys triglycerides go from the 700s down to 75 in 30 days.
Right.
Just simply by not drinking anything but water, cutting out alcohol, et cetera,
right.
and increasing omega-3 fatty acids to 10 grams a day. His levels went from 700 to 775. His doctor wow. was like, I've never seen this happen ever before. Well, why? Because it doesn't happen with pharmaceuticals.
Right.
So
right.
here's the example. I want you guys to think about this for a second. You're sitting in, you know, a building, your house or whatever, particularly if you have a second story or if you're in a commercial building and there's pipes that run through your walls and through your ceiling and all this, and those pipes carry water. So we're talking about your clean water pipes, not your sewage pipes, but these right. pipes carry water. Water is pH neutral.
Yep.
So you have, you know, copper pipes running through. And it's pH neutral, so the pipes could last a very, very, very long time. They don't corrode or whatever because the pH is such that it is keeping the copper pipes from yes. being damaged.
Yep.
Now, say we shut off the water, we disconnect the water supply, and instead of water, we're going to start pumping acid that's very corrosive
right.
through your pipes. What's going to happen to your pipes?
They're going to corrode. It's horrible.
They're going to corrode. They're right. going to become damaged. They're going right. to leak.
They're going to leak. Yep.
Right. And then what's going to happen to the pressure in the pipes?
They're going to go way down.
It's going to go down.
Yep.
So if you wanted to continue to get flow through those pipes to right. the same amount that you were before the corrosion, what would you have to do?
You're going to have to go plug up those holes.
Or you would have to pump harder,
right? Yep.
So you'd have to increase the pressure.
Yep. Yep.
So this is exactly what's happening to people's blood vessels. You have pH neutral blood that should be pumping through their vessels.
Right.
But their blood's not pH neutral. Why? Because we have a diet that is high in refined carbohydrates yep. and sugar,
yep.
which turn into acidic body pH. Particularly yep. your blood starts becoming more acidic.
Yep.
Now it's not a complete acid. It's just a few points in one direction.
Right.
And it becomes more acidic. And over time, it starts to corrode your blood vessels. It yes. creates inflammation. The blood vessels become damaged. They inflame. When they inflame, they swell inward and they put more pressure on the blood. The blood then creates back pressure. So the blood pressure goes up.
Yes.
It continues to damage the arteries till there's micro trauma happening. There's yep. literally bleeding happening internally. You know, small, small, small amounts, but there's this micro trauma occurring to the vessels. And so you actually start leaking, you know, through the arteries.
Right.
They become fragile. They can tear over time because it becomes so sclerotic. Why do they become sclerotic? Cholesterol is rushing to the scene to repair the damage.
Yes.
But cholesterol requires a neutral pH in yes. order for it to stay soft and do repair.
Right.
But if the pH is acidic, when the cholesterol gets there and it bonds to the walls to plug up the holes, the cholesterol actually becomes brittle and hard. And now you're at risk of plaquing and embolism, like throwing a clot
yes.
and having a clot go somewhere else. And it has zero to do with cholesterol. Cholesterol is actually there to save the day. It's having right. a main character moment
yes.
and it's going to be the hero.
It's going to be the hero, right.
But it's literally handcuffed. It's like kryptonite. The,
right.
the acidity in the blood is shutting down its ability to perform its job.
Yes.
And it has zero to do with cholesterol. Why did we blame it on cholesterol? Outside of the sugar industry not wanting to take blame for what they were actually doing.
Right.
The doctors then cut open a blood vessel, look down at what do they see?
They see cholesterol.
Tons of cholesterol yep. plaqued up in the arteries. And they're like, oh, it's all cholesterol's yep. fault.
Let's get the cholesterol out of here.
Let's get the cholesterol out of here. And it has yeah. zero to do with the cholesterol. Cholesterol is not the bad guy. Cholesterol is the good guy. And it's trying to repair the damage. So that's cholesterol in a nutshell. We also talked about why blood pressure can increase, inflammation in the arteries, et cetera. Here's the second thing. All right. So the other 59%. So it doesn't yes. happen from that. What's going on? And I'm going to list, like, when I first say this, you're going to be like, ah, I don't know about that, Dr. Ryan. I promise you, I'm going to give you some research. One of our doctors in our network, doctor named TJ Osborne out in California, did some extensive research, and he put together and presented to a bunch of cardiac doctors, surgeons, and the like,
yep.
and showed them that the autonomic nervous system actually plays a huge role in heart disease.
Yes.
So your autonomic nervous system is the part of your nervous system that controls things you don't have control over.
Yes. Yep.
Like you can move your arm. You can choose what words you say.
Yeah.
You can open and close your eyes and yep. all those things. But you can't have a direct influence on your heart.
Right.
The same way that you can with moving a limb.
Right, right, right.
So that's your autonomic nervous system, meaning the part you don't have as much control over. Now that's split into two, parasympathetic and sympathetic. And those two are meant to be in this continual dance.
Yes.
It's balanced, but it's not really balanced. It's sometimes one's up and then sometimes the other's up. If one's up for too long and one's firing, your sympathetics are firing for too long, your parasympathetics have to come in and elevate it sometime to bring your sympathetics down.
Right.
Sympathetics are fight or flight. So that's if a bear jumped in the room right now, sympathetic nervous system.
Yes. Yes.
Your parasympathetics are rest and digest. And what's interesting is there's one activity that actually stimulates both of them almost at the same time, and that's sex.
Oh, look at that.
And there's that experience of like it's you know, it's engaging in such a way as stimulating, but it's also like relaxing.
Right.
And that's something that's why it has such a desirable effect on the body.
Right, right.
And because it helps to regulate these two.
Right.
So there's this new science that talks about HRV, heart rate variability. That's mm-hmm. the way that you measure parasympathetic and sympathetic balance.
Yes.
So most people are trapped in a sympathetic state. Their sympathetics are firing nonstop and their parasympathetics are being suppressed.
Yes.
Parasympathetics are how you heal. The reason their sympathetics are firing so hard are for a couple of reasons. Number one, we're under chronic stress all the time.
All the time. Yep. Yep. I don't think anybody would argue that.
Schedules, yep. everything, your phone dinging every few seconds, like whatever it is, like chronic stress. Number two, the standard American diet is a chronic stress on the body.
Yes.
So if you're not eating for healing, then you're actually stressing your body 24/7 and creating damage.
Mm-hmm.
And your sympathetic nervous system is responding to that. And it's just in protective mode and it's trying to fight what's going on. It's fighting inflammation. It's fighting, you know, just toxicity. It's fighting right. all these things.
Right.
Another one is that the sympathetic nervous system is some degree stimulated during activity and exercise. That there is a sympathetic response and the come down from that. So sympathetics might be firing to some degree, but afterwards you have this sympathetic response that gets elevated and people aren't exercising. They're not getting that. Well, here's the last one. Your spine protects your nervous system. And if it's doing that job well, then it's protective. But if your spine is out of alignment, if it's not moving well, then it becomes a constant
stress
yep. on autonomic nervous system.
There you go.
So you have vertebra that may be out of alignment. They're subluxated. They're not moving. And instead of protecting the nerves, they're actually creating tension, yes. torsion, pressure, and damage on the nerves. They're actually either pinching nerves, putting pressure on, pulling on the nerves, pulling on the spinal cord, stretching the spinal cord.
Right.
And that stress on the spinal cord, it's been shown over and over again, is really clear that it actually creates stress on the nervous system. That stress on the nervous system causes the body to go into a sympathetic tone and be on guard and agitated all the time.
Oh, that's interesting. And we don't want anyone agitated, right? So getting adjusted makes you happier.
And I'm going to show you why this is important because we have yes. some research here. Again, TJ Osborne did, you know, some really amazing research. So this is a study. This is the impact of chiropractic care on established cardiac risk factors, a case study on lipids. This study demonstrated a correlation between regular chiropractic care and the improvement of lipid levels. The correlation established was of significance. It was widely accepted that blood lipid levels are excellent at assessing the risk associated with premature coronary heart disease. And what they showed in this was these patients who were getting adjusted had major drops in their blood lipid levels from high cholesterol and high, you know, the AKA bad lipids.
Right, right.
They saw dramatic drops in those. Here's another one. McKnight and Debor, I think is how you say it, statistically significant changes in blood pressure in normotensive subjects who had upper cervical subluxations. These patients, 75 subjects, they were 20 to 35 years of age. They had their systolic and diastolic blood pressure decreased simply from a chiropractic adjustment.
I mean, and that's remarkable. Come on. Just to be able to show that, right? Like to be able to do a study and to show that, that there is actual, like we can see the data on this. And chiropractic studies, I mean, it's hard. Like the funding for chiropractic studies isn't exactly there, right? So to be able to find that and to show that is really remarkable.
And this is out of the Journal of Manipulative Physical Therapy, 1988. They said that these patients that had thoracic subluxation, so right. in their back,
yep.
that there was evidence out of University of Chicago, hypertensive, the Journal of Hypertension, there was a study done out of University of Chicago that showed upper neck adjustments reduce blood pressure significantly.
Oh, wow.
And the results lasted longer than people who were on the medication.
Oh, wow.
But this was thoracic adjustments, so the middle back where the nerves go to the heart. They said results support that adjustments of the thoracic subluxation significantly reduce blood pressure in patients with elevated blood pressure. And I could go on and on. I have a document here with all this research Dr. Osborne did about sudden cardiac death, dysarrhythmias, atrial fibrillation, autonomic nerve supply to the heart and the autonomic response to the heart, all these stuff. Really cool stuff showing that the research is clear that you will not have a healthier heart if your nervous system is damaged. That if you have a heart issue, you have to clear out the interference within your nervous system. You have to clear out the interference in your diet.
Yes.
You have to clear out the interference in your stress levels.
Right, right.
But if you do that and you don't clear out the interference within your spine and nervous system, you're leaving a constant obnoxious damaging stress on your nerve system.
Absolutely. So it's critical. And it's one of those things that the link between chiropractic and heart disease is clear and it's there and it's impactful. And so it's really something that if heart disease is something that you struggle with, a family member struggles with, if it's something that you are, that you want to prevent in the future, all of those things, chiropractic is a resource at your fingertips that you need to grab a hold of. So go to maxliving.com/locations, find a chiropractor near you, and get yourself set up for success in the future.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode about the importance of heart health. For more detailed information and action steps, head to maxliving.com and start reading about the five essentials and how they can affect your life.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Max Living Podcast. Take responsibility for your health today by finding a Max Living doctor near you at maxliving.com/locations.